This is the Big Data Hands-On Roundup Hour, session number two today. So this one, we thought we'd do something a little different, which is we spent a lot of time on slides in the last hour. Now, I told the guys not to have slides, too many slides. We'll see how many they actually have. The goal here was actually just to spend the next hour going through examples using the services that we talked about in the last hour. And if you didn't join us in the last hour, that's okay. You should be fine with what we're covering here. And so with that, we're going to rotate through. I'm going to bring up the program managers who are responsible for each of the areas. We're going to focus on querying data. We're going to focus on streaming, so real-time processing of data, NoSQL. And then we're also going to look at we'll go deeper on a number of the applications that you have in the big data space that you can go install that make life a lot easier for dealing with big data. I left Spark out and the Azure Data Lake out of this session because we have 2 40-minute sessions that we'll spend on those. We have one on each tomorrow morning from 10 to 12. So we're going to go even deeper on those two, so that's why they're not covered here. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rasham, who is going to talk to us about querying data. Stop us anytime as we're going along if you have questions. And the intent here is to really give you something that you can look at and see, all right, this is how it actually works. This is how I would use it. And hopefully come out of this with enough of a start that you could go start using the services today. All right, that'll turn over to Rasham.
Thanks, Lance. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? So my name is Rasham Gupta. I'm the PM owner for our query workload. So let's get going. So at a very high level, what is querying data mean? Once you have data already in Azure Blob, for example, how do you start using it? And that's what we'll be spending the next 10 to 15 minutes on. So step one is you need to first have an HD Insight cluster. So this is like a screenshot of how we do that before. So let me actually walk you through how we do that real time. So once you log into the Azure portal, at the bottom left, you'll see a new button. You click on plus new, data services, HD Insight, and you get a bunch of options. For something real quick, you can just choose Hadoop. I'm going to actually click on Custom Create just to show you the power of HD Insight. So at this, let's take a step back before I actually fill in something. What am I doing here? I'm actually trying to create a Hadoop cluster using Azure. If you had to do this yourself, you would first have to create a bunch of Azure VMs. If you wanted to do it on the cloud, you would first have to create Azure VMs. You would have to decide which distribution to use. You would actually have to get that build, deploy it, run it, manage it yourself. The step I'm showing you directly allows you to run Hadoop directly on Azure VM. So with click of a button, when the VMs actually come up, they'll have Hadoop pre-provisioned. So you can just start using them to query data. So this pop-up, I'm going to actually first choose a cluster name. So I'm going to just pick Rasham G. Actually, that works. So let me just pick that's my alias. I choose my subscription name. I choose my cluster type. There are four options here, Hadoop, HBase, Storm, and Spark. So depending on what workload you want, you can pick which cluster. For now, let's just choose Hadoop. We support two operating systems here, Windows and Linux. So you can choose whichever one you prefer. Our goal is to have Linux to be on parity with Windows. So just because we're Microsoft doesn't mean you cannot, like Linux is not a second-class citizen for us. They're supposed to be equal. In fact, my demo today is on Linux cluster. I'll pick Windows for now. You can choose different HTTP versions. So right now you can see 3.1 is the default, but you can choose 3.2, which is mapping to HTTP 2.2, which is in preview mode. So I'm going to choose this one. I hit next. You can choose any number of data nodes you want, from like one node to like hundreds or thousands of nodes, depending on how many you want. So let me go with something crazy like 100. I can pick whichever region I want. The only thing to remember, the region you pick is where your data needs to be. So try to choose a region where your data is. You can choose different SKU types. So we support so many different SKUs with different cores in memory. You can pick whichever one you want depending on how complex your jobs are. So let me pick D3 for now.
Now, if you want to pick 1,000 nodes, you'll have to go through a financial check, right, Rasham?
That is absolutely right, Lance. Thank you.
Or maybe 2,000 nodes. So you'll be able to hit the number that your subscription is enabled. But if you want more, just call us and we'll enable more.
Thanks. So you can choose your admin username and password. So I'm going to do that right now. The reason I'm doing all these steps is I want you to remember two things. So one, HD Insight wants to make it very easy for you to use Hadoop. So in a traditional Hadoop cluster, your data lies in the same cluster as where your Hadoop is. So once your cluster, for whatever reason, is deleted, your data goes away. With HD Insight, we've actually mapped our Azure Blob Store as our HDFS. So thanks to that, you can actually delete your cluster, but your data still stays. So that's one enhancement we've done. The second thing is, if you see, it says enter the HiveWSI Metastore. If I click this, you can actually provision your SQL Azure, which will store all your metadata. So again, you create a cluster, you've created a bunch of tables. Tomorrow you decide you want to save a little bit of money and not want to run your cluster 24/7. You can delete the cluster. So your data is still in Azure Blob, your metadata is still in SQL Azure. You come back a week later and you start off from where you left off. So those are the two key things I wanted to show you why I did custom create, but that's the power of HD Insight. So once I hit submit and start the cluster is ready to go. Your data is in Azure Blob, and if you have custom Metastore provision, your metadata will be stored in Azure Blob. You can. So once your cluster is created, there is a scaling option which you can increase the number of nodes. So I'm going to just jump back to the presentation here. So that's just how you create a cluster. Now, once you've created a cluster, I'm going to talk a little bit about the use cases. What do people use Hadoop for? So there are three main use cases people use Hadoop for. The first one is analytics using various sources. So as we know in today's world, data is coming from different sources, which can all be different formats. So in this particular example, I'm saying data is coming from applications, devices, sensors, and social. Let's assume the first one is comma separated, second one is tab separated, this is XML, this is JSON. So that's where the power of Hadoop comes. You can actually, Hive can read all these different formats, and then you can actually transform them into one queryable table. And from that point on, even though the original data is from different sources, this table can be used to query and run some analysis on. The second one, which is quite popular amongst our customers, is ETL. So the ETL scenario in Hadoop really means data is coming from different sources, which is then uploaded to Azure Blob, where it's transformed using Pig or Hive. And then at some point, people want to run it analysis interactively, right? And while Hive is more used for batch scenarios to actually run interactive, like if you want to run SQL-like reports, you would actually move it to SQL Azure, right? So from Azure Blob, you move it to you run Hive queries, which is written back to Azure Blob, and then you move it to SQL Azure, where then your customers can actually run reports or interactive queries which can respond in seconds. So that's the ETL scenario. The third one is recommendation engines. So what this means is you can have a lot of web logs or click stream that customers are creating based on your website. These can be uploaded to Hadoop, where you can then run Mahout or Hive to actually run some recommendation algorithms. And once you have this ready, you can use it back in your apps to show if you like this, you may like this. So these are two or three use cases. There are many more, but these are three common ones which I thought I would talk about. So now you know how to create an HD Insight cluster. You know what the use cases are. How do you start using it? Now you have a cluster up and running. So the first thing is, if you know SQL, you're good to go. Right, there is this technology called Hive, which is essentially SQL for Hadoop, except it's built on petabyte scale. So I always tell customers, if you know SQL, you know Hive, and we're going to see why it's so easy to use. Some of the properties I want to just talk about is when you think of Hadoop, people usually think MapReduce. Hive is actually much easier than MapReduce, so it's great to get going and get your hands dirty in it. It's schema on read. So what that means is you don't have to worry about the data before actually using it. So it doesn't matter what the data format is. You can just start using it in Hive. It supports user code. So if you have your own user code that you want to add on, you can do that. And it can read multiple file formats. At a very high level, this is the Hive, which is the compiler, optimizer, and executor, and this is Hadoop, which has many, many nodes. So in Hive, you run your languages using the different tools we give, which is ODBC driver, JDBC, Query Console, Visual Studio, which is then compiled into a MapReduce job and sent to Hadoop. So essentially, when you write a Hive query, it's converting it to MapReduce and sending it to the Hadoop cluster where it's run. And so without actually knowing MapReduce, you are running MapReduce jobs. So that's the power of Hive. OK, so I think that's enough theory. Let's go on the actual demo. So what I'm going to show you is this is my cluster, Azure Blob. So in my Azure Blob, Rashim G storage, Rashim G 6, HDI samples, I have a folder called website log sample data, which has two folders. One is a sample log. I open this. This is just an IIS log output. Key things to note here, the first two rows are just comments, like just defining what it is. And the real data starts from here, from row number 3, which is tab separated. The second file I have, actually, before I close this, one of the things here is just a status code, HTTP status code. So it's, this is 200, 200, 200, 404s, et cetera. The other one, I'm just mapping the status code to a string. So 200 is OK, 404 is not found. This is comma separated. So the first one was tab separated file. This is a comma separated file. And so just this. Let's keep this in mind. And so now what I'm going to do, I'm just going to show you how easy it is to just start using a Hadoop cluster. So once you have created this cluster, we have actually just added using Hue as a script action. Hue is a web authoring tool, which is very popular in the Hadoop ecosystem. So with Hue, I can just go to my cluster and just say query editors Hive. So at this point of time, again, we've created an HD Insight cluster. I've shown you where the file resides, which is right here. And I'm going to run my first query, which is basically in SQL. So the first thing I'm going to say is drop table if exists web logs. Go ahead.
So Hue is a really simple free web-based app that I can use to visually write queries to execute against the cluster?
That's right. So anything I'm writing here is actually a Hive query. Hue is just making it very easy where I don't have to like open a command line interface. It's just a web app which is running on the clusters. Thank you. Say that again.
Is it already installed?
So the question is it already installed? As of now, it's not. We do have our own version called Query Console. Like I said, this is still in beta. So we have what is called a script action, which when you're creating a cluster, you can provide. You can just say, I want you, and you will be able to have it. For now, it is a checkbox. Long term, we'll either have this or some other web authoring service, but we will have a web authoring service in the next few months out of the box.
Five minutes.
Okay.
Do you have a question? I'm new to Hadoop. So those two files, those just files are just dropped in the file system?
So one of the files is.
Okay.
Yes, one of the files is, which is the one one of the ones I'm working on, is actually there in the same location.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go. So next step I'm doing. So I'm actually going to tell Hive that, hey, here's my file, which is in the Azure Blob Rashim G storage, HDI sample, sample log. So that's exactly the path of this, except remember, I didn't give the file name. Hadoop works more on folder level, so I just provided the folder level to it. I said, create external table. Why external table? Because it's pointing to Azure Blob. If it was pointing to HDFS, I could just say create table, but I'm saying write it in Azure Blob. And then this is the name of the table, and I provide the schema, which is just the different column names that I want. So remember, I'm actually defining what the columns are. I tell it that it's delimited by a tab, and also tell it to skip the first two rows. I hit execute. At this point of time, what it's doing is it's actually reading. It's actually just creating a table, and it's actually defined the schema on it. So now the next thing I'm going to do is let's check if this table, let's check what's in this table.
So Roshan, this is really cool. Just so I can catch up, is you had unstructured tab delimited data from IIS just written to some folder somewhere. And then using Hive, the language, you gave it structure. So you gave unstructured data structure. so that when you can write structured queries over it without changing the underlying data at all.
That's right.
Okay, thanks.
And on top of that, I'm actually using SQL to do all of that, right? So just tool that I'm familiar with. So like Nino mentioned, this is now a table which is structured, which came from an unstructured tab-separated file. So this is an example. This was one of the files. Let's also look at the second file I have, and I'm just going to do three steps. Let me actually do two steps in one. So I'm going to... the second file is HTTP status. So I'm creating another table called HTTP status, which has code and a string. And I point it as, remember, it's comma separated, not tab separated. So this is already done. When I do a select star from HTTP status, and I hit execute, it's actually going to show me the table right here. So again, at this point of time, I have two tables. Both, one is from a TSV converted to structured and a table created. One is a comma separated, created a table, it's here. My final step I'm going to do is a join. Again, while it's running, I will explain what I'm doing. So essentially, all I'm saying is select the URL and the status code and the status from the other table. So one is a code from the original table, one is the string from the second table, and do an inner join where the code matches between the two tables. Once I do that, I see it's actually running a MapReduce job. You can see the Hive has converted it to a MapReduce job. You can actually see the MapReduce jobs are running, and there's my answer right there. So this is an example of how easy it is. If you know SQL, you're good to go. You can use Hue and all these tools to get going. I'm out of time, but I just want to end with one last slide. People often say Hadoop is not that fast. While that depends on how you configure your cluster. And here is, I've given a 1 hour talk on this, but I just want to show you that if you have the right optimizations, I've been able to bring a TPCH1, which is a standard database benchmark query, running on 1 terabyte of data. So TPCH1 on 1 terabyte of data from 90 minutes down to like 4 minutes. So that's where, you know, we're adding value as Microsoft by bringing these optimizations out of the box and helping you guys, make your solutions faster. So with that, I'm done. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Rasham. All right, so we got Hiran up next for Storm.
Okay, good. So my name is Hiran, and I will be talking about the streaming pipelines on HD Insight. Now data is continuously getting generated with various sensors, devices, applications, and the value of data decreases with the time. So as soon as the data is getting generated, you want to do some processing on top of it, get insight on top of it, and make some business decision based on that. This is causing a paradigm shift from processing into batch form into continuous near real-time processing. And that is what I will try to cover in next 15 show minutes to demonstrate how we can do near real-time analytics. Now, the common analogy or how the common pipeline looks in streaming is that you have a bunch of devices, sensors, applications, which is continuously generating a data. You push this data through gateway or cloud gateway or field gateway into queuing system, which might be Event Hub or Kafka. Once you have this data into the cloud, you want to start doing processing on top of it. And you might use Storm or ASA as your near real-time processing engines to run some machine learning algorithms, do what Lance was trying to show you in his truck demo. All that can be written in here. And once the data is processed, you want to either persist it into some persistent store to do further processing later on, or display it through and wizards, basically dashboards, which Lance demoed it in his demo for further processing. Also, some pipelines prepare send the data generated from the Storm topology to another pipeline. So that is also a common pattern. So this is a common analogy how the streaming pipeline will look like in the real world. Before I go to the demo, I would like to go through some basic essentials about the Storm per se, because I will be only covering Storm aspect in this thing. So what is Storm? Storm is a distributed fault tolerance open source near real-time event processing system. So it's streaming data, it's near real-time processing. It's easy to use. You can use Java as your programming language or .NET on Azure. We have enabled that. It can run, it's fast because it can process 1 million records per second. This is a continuous test which we are run on our clusters to see the bits are up to the mark. It's scalable, like you can scale your cluster size with a drag of an UI from as much big as cluster you want. It's fault tolerance because on cloud machines might always go down, so you want to be a fault tolerant, and it's reliable as we guarantee exactly one semantics. What it means is we will process each event exactly once. So that gives you a real guarantees. So in Storm, similar to SQL, there is a concept of tuple. In SQL, you call it a record, which is a core unit of data. So it's unlike SQL, like this tuple is immutable. You cannot change it once you push through. Batch of tuples are called streams. And this is a continuous non-ending infinite streams. And the sources of these streams are called spouts. Similarly, on the execution side, the unit of execution is called bolt. And you can write a bolt to store data. You can write a bolt to read data from a storage. And storage might be HBase, ADL, or any other sort of document DB. You name it, whichever is enabled on Azure. You can perform arbitrary computations like machine learning, or you have your own arbitrary computation. You can do that there. And optionally, you can also emit additional streams from the same bolt itself. And combination of spouts, which is represented by a tap, and bolts, which is represented by a Storm symbol, forms a topology. And you can have this DAG in whatsoever format. I am going to demo a simple select count star from a data set grouped by a key, which is an equivalent in SQL land. There are some part of this demo which are simulated, which is like the ingestion of the data, because I will be trying to demo a web log analysis where you are continuously generating a web log data, which is ingested to Event Hub. And then I have written a bolt which does the counting on the get method, one of the columns in the web log data set. And then I'm aggregating on top of that bolt and writing it to HBase. So that's the bolt I will simulate. So let me pull the demo. So I will basically first start with explaining you the topology. So creating a Storm topology is easy. You can go into File, Create New, Project. it's input it and show. So I don't know what's happening. Okay, I can. Oh, it extended your desktop. Okay. So to create a new topology, you can go to the file, new. Project. In an HD inside, you can select, like we have some samples, but you can select Strom samples or create Strom application. I have already done that, so I will skip that part. Once you have done that, like there will be a program.cs file in the project. That is where you define the DAG of your topology. So here is the topology builder where you specify, okay, there is one spout which is generating a data, which is called ISS log generator. Then there is a bold which is consuming the data generated by ISS log, and like where it is consuming it, you can specify in field grouping ISS log thing where it is getting connected with the spout specified ahead. And there is another bold which is writing to HBase, and it's taking data generated from the counter bold and writing data to HBase. Now let's look at the counter bold. I will skip the log generation part because that's faked. When you are writing a bold, you this counter bold, I have created a dictionary which is doing counting basically on method and generating a count how many people are clicking that method. And that is like string and long, as you can see in here. Then I define the schema, which is input schema to this particular bold. And this is the schema of the bold. As you can see, there are a bunch of columns in here. And this is where I define the schema, input schema to this bold. And then here is where the output schema, I'm just outputting a method column with the count. So that is where it's string and long. And in an execute method is where I like my logic. So here is where I am getting a value from the dictionary on that method. And if that exists, it's like I'm incrementing the counter. If it does not exist, the value is zero. And similarly, I have written an HBase bold, which is exactly the same way you do it, except few differences. Like in the execute method, this is how you write data to HBase bold. Here is just an example of how I'm writing two columns to HBase bold. Let's submit this topology to the cluster. I'll just build it first to see if there is any compilation errors or not. So it succeeded. And then I will go and submit the topology to this Hadoop cluster. So while it is submitting the topology, does anyone have any questions around this? Yes. So there is no, the question is, it is working as a batch and not interactive. So this is one time, once you fire this job, it will continuously run forever until you go and close it. So this is fire and forget. It does not have a Lambda architecture here. Strom does not have a Lambda architecture. If for Strom topology will be continuously generating an output, but you might want to go and look at the output or something like that. For that, you either push data to the dashboards or use Hive or something to query, do the point query over the data. So
actions on the events would be interactive.
Yeah. So here is the topology is submitted. Let's refresh it. Okay. So it has like generated 4,500 so events from the spout. And it's like the counter bolt has processed that many. and the aggregator board had transmitted the same number of ports. So I will quickly show you. So I have RDP'd in on the cluster and quickly show you that it's writing data to the edge base. So here is the table which I generated. I can say scan. So it, this is where continuously generating a data. You can use either build dashboards on Edgebase to do the point query, and Maximum will talk about this, but this is where my demo ends. Yeah? So Edgebase is like quick access data. Like when you are building a dashboard or something like that, you want to access data as fast as it is generated. So you will write to some fast storage as well. ADL is batch storage kind of stuff, like unless it will have tables and all that stuff, which will be coming on later, where Lance will talk about it more when it comes. But like that's where I'm writing to Edgebase.
All right, thanks, Rasham. Or I mean, not Rasham, Haran, thanks. And we're going to bring Maxim up here to do HBase. And while Maxim is setting up, I have a deep ontology thought for you, which is, if an orange is orange, why is a lime not called green or a lemon called yellow? Think about that.
Thank you, Lance. I think that gave us exactly the time that we need. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that. Perfect. So I'm Maxim Lukyanov, program manager on Lance's team. It's Big Data HD Insight team. And one of the workloads that we have in HD Insight is Edgebase. And I heard questions during the Storm presentation about, hey, how do you do a real-time aspect of your application? Like, with Storm, you can process the real-time stream, but what do you do next when you want to show in some real-time or interactive way end users this data that was collected? So Edgebase complements and answers, complements the architecture and answers this question. So let's start with a little bit kind of quick overview of what Edgebase is, and then we'll go into a demo that shows how Storm and Edgebase can be used together to build an interactive application. So what is Edgebase? Edgebase is a distributed non-relational database. It's similar to traditional databases in a sense that it has tables with rows and columns, but unlike traditional databases, it actually has some limitations. It doesn't support notion of joins between tables. It doesn't allow you to do transactions. And even simple SQL queries, it doesn't support. So you might ask, hey, why do you need it then? Well, what Edgebase brings to the table, it brings a promise, the promise of linear scalability. It says that if you build your application within the scope of Edgebase APIs, then your application will scale gracefully and easily from gigabytes to terabytes and to petabytes of data without the need to change your application. So from upfront, Edgebase was designed for these extremely large scale applications. And it can handle tables, a single table, big table with billions of rows and millions of columns at the same time. And it does it while providing developers with a very simple abstraction of table and rows. You can work with this big table as a developer, thinking about it and using APIs that treat it just as a simple table. And behind the scenes, Edgebase does all of the heavy lifting of managing these extremely large tables and data sets. It will distribute them across the set of nodes in your cluster. It will make sure that your data is highly available. If one of the nodes goes down, it will fail over this data from this node to other nodes and will make sure that it's available again. And if your data keeps changing, Edgebase does what's called automatic sharding of data, where it will reload balance your data across the nodes to ensure that even in the presence of changes to your data, the data is still distributed evenly across the set of nodes in your cluster,
and your cluster is loaded evenly. In practice, HBase is a fairly known thing. It's used by small startups and large enterprises. There is a set of companies that have more than 1,000 node deployments of HBase. So there is a great number of HBase clusters of large size that are used for mission-critical applications, like Flurry, Facebook, Yahoo, Twitter. All of these startups and large enterprises use HBase. Back in 2006, when HBase was introduced, it was introduced as a component of Hadoop ecosystem. At that time, Hadoop was already considered a successful project in big data space, but it was oriented towards batch processing of data. And there was a lack of capability where you can process the same big data, but in a more interactive real-time applications. So exactly this need was where HBase was introduced to solve that need. So it was designed to provide access to big data in a low latency way. Think about some kind of point lookups to a small set of data in a large data set, or writes into a large data set in an extremely fast manner. So HBase has this millisecond level latencies for your big data queries. Of course, it requires that your big data queries are narrowed into some very small subset in your big data data set. But it enables you to build a variety of applications that bring very interactive experiences to the end users on top of big data sets. Let's go through a couple of typical use cases where that happens. The first use case is kind of a very broad one. We call it key value store. You can think of it as a very typical database scenario where you use HBase as just a backend for your web application or mobile application. Great illustration is Facebook. If you're familiar with Facebook, then there is a messaging feature in Facebook. When you click this message button, you see a list of messages that you receive from people. And that messaging feature is powered by HBase. So imagine millions of users around the world sending these clicks to the Facebook website, and they all want to see their messages, and they want to see them in milliseconds. So that's the use case where HBase thrives. This is where it shines. It can serve all of these millions requests at the same time and deliver results in milliseconds from the data set that contains terabytes of data. Second use case is connecting us back to Storm. This is a use case where HBase is used as an interactive or low latency store for your events or real time. You think of it as an Internet of Things type of applications where the events or messages that you want to work with are stored in HBase. And that enables you first a very high throughput ingestion mechanism. HBase is optimized for high throughput writes. So you can take your Storm topology and stream your data into HBase. And at the same time, it enables your web applications and mobile applications to query this data and show something meaningful to end users, again, with a very high speed. A great example is Bloomberg Terminals. This is a monopolist right now in the kind of trading sector. They build these famous trading terminals where very expensive, I would say, decisions are made every day by traders around the world. Another typical use case is represented by a project called OpenTSDB, Open Time Series Database. So you can store your time series data in HBase and then build some visualizations on top of it. And this is an open source project that was built on top of HBase to kind of use HBase capabilities to show this time series in an end-to-end manner. Interesting thing here is to look at the architecture of this use case as it connects together Storm, HBase, and Hive, all of the components that we have in Big Data team. This is what we call kind of a canonical architecture of real-time Big Data application as it pops up here and there across the customer projects. Here you can see that an application that serves end user with the data that is first generated on devices or events is first processed by a streaming service like Storm, and then persisted in Edgebase for to enable your web application to show some trends or some information from the recent history, as well as there is a direct connection from your Storm topology to a web application to show kind of a latest events or latest alerts that just happened in real time. And the third component that is enabled in this architecture is analytical processing of this data. Once you safely store your events data in a real-time storage system like Edgebase, you can use analytical processing like Hive, Mahout, or machine learning to start analyzing this data, mining some insight from this data, or just building some reports over the long periods of data, long periods of time, and building some aggregations and analytics on top of it. Okay, let's switch to the demo. So first, I will start with what you can build using Storm and Edgebase together. So we'll take a look at the application. This is our tutorial for Edgebase. So it's fairly simple, but it still shows you type of things that you can do. So to get started on that, what you see is the architecture of this app. So we have Twitter Stream. It's a standard application that we use for demos. And then there is a Storm topology that processes the stream of tweets in real time. And what it does, it builds kind of an inverted index of tweets. So later on, we can quickly query these tweets in our web application. So this inverted index, the process will take a look at this during the demo, is stored in Edgebase. And from Edgebase, our web application can query these tweets and show something, some meaningful visualizations. While in parallel, the latest updates from the Twitter stream are also streamed to a web application through Signal R, which is a real-time kind of notification system that you can use in your application as well. Okay. Okay, so this is a web application that shows this stream of tweets. You can see this counter that shows how many tweets were received by our Storm topology. And this is a counter that is powered by this Signal R real-time component. So it shows latest up to 100 millisecond updates from our Storm topology. And the rest of the app is just a visualization system that allows us to query these tweets. So let's do an Xbox query. So what are the tweets that had Xbox in it? So we can see there is some tweets in Brazil. Another aspect that functionality of this app, it determines the sentiment score of the tweet. So it tries to determine if the tweet has a positive words in it or negative words, and then it determines whether the tweet as a whole has a positive or negative meaning. And it allows us to see where was a positive or negative tweet. It also calculates this little score here, which says, what was the ratio between positive and negative tweets? So we can assess, for a given keyword, how world perceives this keyword, what is the ratio between positive and negative comments, and that is calculated for the last week of the tweet. So with that, we can start comparing things. So Xbox had 3.8. We can say PlayStation and compare Xbox with PlayStation. If it works, of course. Let's try. Click go again. OK, it works. Immediately we see there is something going on with PlayStation in, where is it, in Turkey. There is some spike of activity in Turkey around PlayStation, probably marketing campaign or something. But we also can compare this positive-negative ratio, which is for PlayStation surprisingly low, but as a Microsoft, we cannot be happier than with that result. So Xbox, according to this measurement tool, is above PlayStation in popularity. So we are a little bit out of time. So let's do some quick kind of business-oriented demo, and then we'll switch to the code if you have time. So we can compare with this tool and other things, like if I'm a manager or some car company, I can say, hey, let's take a look at Toyota, how it is perceived in the world. And we can see there is positive sentiment, there is negative sentiment. And I can compare it to Honda and see that, oh, Honda sentiment is a little lower than the Toyota one. Again, we have information about positive and negative. So what I can do as a hypothetical manager of Honda brand, I can now use this information to drive some action in my organization. I can compare positive and negative sentiment and focus, for example, here on this negative spot and say, hey, what's going on in Phoenix? So there is some positive sentiment in San Bernardino and negative sentiment in Phoenix. So if I had some dealership in Phoenix, I can immediately contact this dealership and make sure that this dealership is aware of what's going on and maybe even get some explanation for what's going on. And while this is a fairly simple application, this illustrates the power of real-time big data applications or power that they can bring into organizations and change how organizations operate on the day-to-day basis. In the old world, you can imagine that it would take you significant effort and time to get this customer sentiment information. In the new world, you can build the systems that directly connect to real-time signal of the world about what's going on with your customers or what have you, and then build your change your organizational processes to actually take advantage of that and improve and innovate, optimize your business to take action on that information. Okay. So with that, let me show you a last slide. And we'll switch to the next topic. So if you are interested more in HBase resources, here's the resources slide. This is a great book about HBase internals. There is C# HBase SDK that you can use to build and applications like I just showed in C#. There is also an source code of this Twitter sentiment app available, as well as we have a tutorial written which guides you step by step of how you build this application. You can see it in the documentation section. Sorry, say again? The question is, are we going to share the presentation with us? Yes, I think the answer is correct.
We will. Yes. And then, as Maxim said, the sentiment app that he just walked through is at that link below, so you can all download and build the same thing you just saw him walk us through. All right, thanks, Maxim. We're going to switch over to Nino. Okay, so Nino's going to show apps. Okay, ready for another deep thought? We'll see how deep it is. Have you ever considered that maybe the lobsters, the live lobsters waiting in the kitchen to be boiled on the Titanic were praying for a miracle? What do you do if you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? All right, Nino, I'm out, so you got to get it set up now.
Three seconds? All right, cool. Okay, hi, everybody. So we're going to wrap this up with applications. So just a kind of quick summary. Hadoop is a platform. It's really cool. If you like to go back, you know, I think in some cases decades and, you know, just be a script jockey and spend a lot of time hand-building applications, it's super awesome. One thing that's happening now, though, is it's becoming more of a mature platform. So in the last 2 to 3 years especially, if you follow funding for fun, A lot of companies, a lot of startups in some cases, have been funded to build applications on Hadoop. It's awesome for people like me, because I'm like an IT pro. I'm like an analyst. I have a DBA background. I like to use tools. So the tools market for Hadoop and the application market for Hadoop is becoming more mature. We see larger guys entering the space. We see folks like Informatica having a Hadoop tool set. And then I'll show you today a couple of our partners. We see smaller guys that are sometimes 15, 20 person shops in the valley getting, you know, $10 million rounds that are building tools for Hadoop. And a lot of them are actually awesome, and they make it approachable for guys like me. So I'm going to show you a little bit of what we're going to do from an experience perspective to make it easier for our customers. And then I'm going to show you a couple of the apps. And I'm really glad that I'm going at the end, because you could appreciate the value of these applications, because, you know, for the folks of like me that have trouble scripting and building these large applications to do querying, these applications make it easy, actually WYSIWYG easy. So let me show you some stuff. So how many folks have provisioned HDI? No, well, actually, we all have, because we just saw a demo from Rashim. So I just want to show you guys a little bit. So this is our portal. This is actually, I think, is it launched yet? Maybe not, but it's our new portal. It's launched. Okay, thanks. So basically, you go here and you'll provision in an HD Insight cluster. But what's really cool now is, as opposed to like going and provisioning a cluster in nodes and then going away and manually starting to build your application, within the next month, we're working really hard. These are actually things we're building right now. But you're going to be able to navigate in the provisioning portal to a data and analytics section. And you're going to see a set of applications that run on HD Insight. And we'll tell you. We'll say these are all HD Insight certified. And then what's really cool is you can go single-click deploy them without doing any sort of manual code, writing any custom scripts. So I know the idea is not revolutionary. We all are familiar with app stores and app galleries. But the key point is we're bringing it to you for big data. So in this case, you know, Redpoint's one of our partners, great guys. This is literally how easy it'll be. You'll navigate. You'll find Redpoint. You'll click the Create button. And then that will deploy itself onto HD Insight. So just a quick, again, these are mock-ups. We're building this stuff right now, literally today I was in a Scrum meeting. But the idea is you'll be able to deploy your big data infrastructure with an application already set up and provisioned on it. And all you do is turn around and go to the DNS endpoint of the application or hand it to your analyst or, you know, or the person you work with. And then they can go ahead and party on big data. So just want to kind of show you guys, let you know this is coming. So real quick, let me go over to my... Okay, cool. So when you think about the types of applications I was talking about, this application market that's evolving, some cases really mature for Hadoop or big data, there's a lot of different varieties. Oh, there's a lot of guys that we're actually partnering with now. We have already announced it, but expect more announcements in the next couple weeks, especially at Strata. We've got guys that do encryption, masking. We've got partners that do role-based access. So, you know, this Hadoop cluster thing can be locked down to where only a certain role that's federated with AD can see a certain column, right? So the whole worry that I have a lot of folks that come up to me and say, man, this big data thing's cool. It's really cool. I don't know how to sell it to my CIO. I don't know how to sell it to the worry warts, right? Everyone who's worried about security. The market here, the tool set here for security and governance compliance is actually really mature now. So we've got a lot of these partners that we're coming to market with, so we can help you guys push these solutions with your own companies. So in this case, what I want to do is I want to show you guys one of my favorite apps. These guys are called Datamere. They're a company down in the valley. They got an engineering team in Germany. But these guys built an app for me. They built an application for a guy that wants to do big data analytics without writing a ton of code. It looks like Excel. You'll see it. And it's really cool. And I'll actually show you guys. And, you know, everybody, me included, we all read the web marketing stuff for big data. It's like log analytics. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know how to get started with log analytics. This is crazy. So what I'm going to show you guys right now, this is an end user application that you can deploy on HD Insight. So I'm going to go over here to my browser. This is just the tab. This is the app. And in this case, what I did is I uploaded some Apache weblogs. So these are actually untouched weblogs. This is how it literally came off the Apache server. So in this case, this log file was, Rashim showed you logs earlier. It was a tab delimited set of data. I didn't touch this. I didn't modify it at all. The application did it for me. It actually turned it into a structured data set when I uploaded the unstructured data into the app, right? So it's really cool. So there's things that Rashim was talking about building schema on read over unstructured data. That's what I was saying. These applications do this stuff for you now. So it's kind of neat. So I'll go here. And then one of the things we always hear about with weblog analytics is, and then there's a ton of stuff we hear, but one of the things I like to do is, what clients are coming to my website? Should I build my website for Mac and Chrome users, for Firefox users, things like that? And of course, you could do a ton of stuff around marketing analytics and spend, but I'll just do a simple demo for you today. So I'm gonna go analyze those web logs, those unstructured Apache web logs, to find out what are the most popular clients that come to my website. So, oh, five, I've been talking that long already. All right, sorry. Okay, all right, so let me go here. And then what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna say, okay, I wanna do a group by. And actually, by the way, what I'm doing here underneath the covers, this is writing Hive code that gets turned into MapReduce. So all that stuff Rasham showed you, I'm doing that right now in this app. So I'm gonna go do a group by. I'm gonna go back over to here to my Apache weblogs, just because I've looked at this data set, you know, many times I was building this demo for you guys. I know it's column AR is the one that contains my client IDs, and I'm gonna hit okay. So now what I've done is very simply, I've written a Hive query to do a group by over the data in that column. This is unstructured data, I didn't touch this stuff. It's still sitting in some tab delimited space file somewhere. So then I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. So now I can group them. Now I'm gonna do something really simple. I'm gonna do group count, because I just wanna know what are the clients and how many are there. So, and then I'm gonna do something really cool, and I'm gonna hit, I'm gonna do a sort. I'm gonna sort by count, and I'm gonna sort descending. So this is really cool. And so you're like, okay, this is, let me see here, what's the top guy here? Okay, so it looks like I got a Mozilla client, Mac, Intel Mac, right, that version. But you're like, well, that's weird, it's 120. Obviously, I have like thousands of clients coming to my website. This is a big data thing. All I've done here is I used a sample of the data to design my query in this app. Now I'm gonna save it and run it on the Hadoop cluster. So it'll be actually ran across all those distributed worker nodes that we keep talking about. So now I'm gonna hit save. I'm gonna just give it a little name, right? This is just the app, this is how this app works. I love it, I can use Excel, I can use this app. And here's where it becomes really kind of neat. So I can do things like, I can say, do this manually. I can make this data-driven. I'm an analyst. I can say, every time new Apache weblogs show up in that folder, go run my web analytics process for me. Just, I'm gonna schedule this to be an automated workflow. I'm gonna leave my HD Insight cluster running, and I'm gonna build like 200 jobs a day that's processing all of this big data for me. So I could do that. I can make it scheduled, data-driven. In this case, for the sake of the demo, and I got two more minutes left probably, I'm just gonna run it right now. So for all the folks in the room, they're talking about writing a big data query. We just did. We just built a big data query that's doing a group by count on Apache weblogs, and it's now running on HD Insight. So as you can see here, it's running. So if I click this, you can see all that complex stuff down below, like all the distributed MapReduce operations, all that stuff is happening. But in the case, so it'll, and I think it runs about 30, 40 seconds. I ran one earlier. We'll go back to just to show you. Now you can see this is a completed job. So remember at the beginning I did the original sort, it was 120, now it's 15,000, just to show you it ran on the full data set. So again, it's tools like these that we're partnering with so that you can walk up and as opposed to learning about Hadoop or big data from a complex way, you learn about it through the lens of an application. Do I have one more minute, Lance? Okay, so one more thing I wanna show you guys. So that's Datamere, okay? One other app I wanna show you guys, these guys are called Trifacta. These are gonna become one of our key partners as well. I really like these guys too. The other app was built for analysts. These guys build this app maybe more for data engineers or data scientists or like the data geeks among us. So what's really cool about this app I like is I loaded that same Apache weblog data set, okay? How many folks in the room have heard of Pig, the scripting language? Okay, Pig's really cool. I actually love it. I don't want to write it. I just want an app to write it, and I just want to click like beautiful lines and have it do it for me. So if you look here, I have that whole Apache log website. Now look in column B, I have the user agent strings. I've got these random values, like 37 and 181. I want to write a pig operation to clean all that up. I want to get rid of all the crazy values and just give my user agent strings. Now if you can see right below where the bar chart is I'm hovering over, if I just drag down here, you can see, look, I just hovered over 181. And if you look at the bottom, this is how cool this app is, it'll actually recommend to me suggestions. Hey, do you want to script out deleting wherever that data says 181? I just wrote a pig script operation. So watch this. So I'll click that. I'll accept the delete suggestion. And if I go over here, these guys just wrote the pig script operation for me. So now I can go run this on my data. So I'm doing data, we all hear about data prep, data wrangling. I just did it using this app. right? So these are two apps that we want to show you guys. We're really excited about this. We're launching this, like I said, the next month or next month or so, and you should expect these, and it makes approaching big data really easy. We just want to share this with you today.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Nino. So that wraps up our super terrific Happy Big Data Application Hour. I hope you all had a good time. The query, so this will be recorded, but the query, the streaming, the NoSQL with HBase, and then the apps, and there's a whole bunch of apps coming on, and I don't know if Nino, if you mentioned this, but we're trying to do deals with all of the app, all the major app vendors, so that you can get free apps, free trials on all the apps, so you can run them, try them out, and see if they work for you. A lot of this stuff, like what Nino showed, makes Hadoop, makes the big data workload a ton more approachable, a ton easier. So check that stuff out, and have a good rest of the conference. Thanks.